There are some people who are so seriously bitten by the travel bug that they just can't stay home. And one of these people is Francis Tapon. We've interviewed him recently with his book Hidden Europe, where he visited over 3 years every country in Eastern Europe, and now he's setting out to visit every country in Africa, all 54. And the exciting thing about this is Francis has never been to Africa. Francis has been all over the place. He's hiked thousands of miles on pilgrimage trails in the United States and in Europe. He's intending to visit every country in the entire world. And right now, Francis is packing up, getting ready, and Francis is dropping in right now to share his dreams and his plans and maybe pick up a few tips from our well-traveled listeners. Francis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rick.
So give me the big picture here, Francis, because we talked last about Hidden Europe, your book Hidden Europe, which is a fascinating book, and you had spent 3 years on sort of an odyssey visiting and staying in every country in Eastern Europe. What's the big picture in your travel plans?
Well, now it's going to be about Africa. So I spent visiting all 25 countries in Eastern Europe, and now it's 54 countries. So I've more than doubled the number of countries. And of course, the size is almost 10 times the size, geographic size. So it's much bigger, and the challenge is going to be much harder for a variety of reasons. But the big picture is start in Egypt, head south, mainly on the east side, and then come up the west side, eventually crossing over North Africa. And that's the general itinerary.
And I see from your map, it's a fascinating idea. You have actually, I see the route here, and it winds through all 54 countries. I think when you were beginning this, your vision, it was 53 countries, but now we have South Sudan, right?
That's right, yeah. So I had to find a way to kind of wiggle into South Sudan without crossing the South Sudan border, because right now they are still in conflict.
Now, I got to be honest with you. I've traveled a lot in Asia and in Europe and Central America. Africa kind of scares me. Now, you can go pick and choose comfortable, stable places in Africa, but you don't have that luxury. You're going to every country in Africa. What are the big challenges for somebody traveling in Africa just because there's so many wars and failed nations and disputed borders and, you know, just dangers?
One of the challenges is just getting visas a lot of times because most African countries need visas. And Americans, as Americans, we're not used to getting visas. And so that's just one bureaucratic hassle that can really turn into a nightmare for people. But as far as the conflicts are concerned, there's some good news on that front as far as I can tell. Most conflicts in Africa are localized. In other words, they're not taking over huge territories. For example, in the case of Mali, it's mainly North Mali that's having conflict right now. In the case of Somalia, they're just pockets in Somalia. Somaliland, which is in northern Somalia, is peaceful and has been peaceful for a while. Mm. Even Mogadishu is relatively peaceful. South Sudan, it's only along the border of Sudan that's having problems. And so as long as you're able to avoid those hotspots, I think in general, it will be relatively safe. Now, of course, I may run into trouble anywhere, but then again, you can run into trouble in New York City.
Now, before we get deeper into Africa, I'm curious just about your passion for travel in general. You have a degree in religion. What exactly was that, and how does that inform or impact your travels?
Yeah, I went to Amherst College and was curious about religion to learn more about people. I think you have to understand religions of the world. Religion is important in the United States, but it's, I think, much more important in most other countries, except for maybe in the region of Europe. So I think it's important to study it and to respect the cultures and to learn more about how they think, what they value. You have to understand religion. So that's one of the key reasons I majored in that study.
I really enjoyed listening to your TED lecture, and you talked about how many of the greatest, most enlightened leaders and teachers were travelers.
That's right, yeah. And they were people who spent time also in the wilderness, too.
Give us some examples of that.
Sure. For example, the Buddha meditated a lot in the wilderness. Of course, Jesus went into the wilderness where he had his most intense confrontation with the devil, and that's where he got his most period of enlightenment. If you look at Muhammad, he went to Mount Hira to get his inspiration for the Quran. Almost all the religions, even Abraham, it's the same kind of story where you kind of go off into the wilderness to get wisdom. And so I think that wherever you go, whether it be Europe, you can go to the mountaintops. And I think spending time and commuting with nature is something that can be very beneficial. And that's something that I intend to do also in Africa.
So that gets into transformational travel. You wrote that climbing Mount Blanc was one of your most transformational experiences. How is that?
Yeah, I mean, it can be just a weekend, for example, which is what it took me to hike up Mont Blanc. But when you get yourself out of your comfort zone when you travel, the more out of your comfort zone, the more foreign the country, the more the language is unrecognizable to you, the more the whole way of life is unrecognizable. I think people grow as a result of such experiences. And so I always try to encourage people to get out of their comfort zone, to push themselves further, and to go into areas that are not familiar. And I think as a result, you're going to be transformed. I did the same thing with El Camino Santiago de Compostela in Spain. It's a long trail that goes across the north part of Spain. I know you've covered it, Rick. And it's a fascinating, transformative journey as well, just as is the three long pilgrimages that I've done in the United States, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, and the Appalachian Trail.
So you get out of your comfort zone and you get alone in the wilderness.
Yeah. To me, if you can spend just some time out there, you're getting away from the cell phones, you're getting away from the email, you're getting away from all the distractions that we have in the modern world. You learn to live without all the amenities that we have. I think we inevitably will learn something about ourselves and about the world.
You can follow Francis Tapon's blog posts and see how the route he's mapped out across Africa's coming along at his website. It's africa54.com. Information about his Wander Learn adventures, including his TED Talks and his book about a 3-year excursion across Eastern Europe, are all at francistapon.com. That's spelled T-A-P-O-N. Now, in Africa, you're going to spend 3 years in Africa. You're leaving just within a short period of time. Where are you at in your planning now? Do you have your papers? Do you have your visas? Do you have your shots? What's involved?
Yeah, you have to get a fair amount of shots. But the key thing, I think, is getting the visas. And unfortunately, because there's 54 countries, and because most of the time when you want to get a visa, they have to know when you're going to be entering the country, when you're going to be leaving, where you're going to be staying, and all these details, which, of course, I have no clue because it's 3 years. I can't predict where I'm going to be in July 2014.
So you'll be, when you're in Zimbabwe, you'll be working on your visa for South Africa. And when you're in South Africa,
Bingo.
You'll be figuring out how you're going to get in and out of Namibia.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And sometimes maybe if I'm lucky, I'll be able to do two or three countries. Let's say if I'm in Johannesburg, if there's several embassies in the Johannesburg, I'll be able to go to three embassies in a row and get all three visas right there and spend a week camping out in Johannesburg while waiting for all those visas to process. But unfortunately, a lot of times they ask for your passport and they ask to keep it. Now, the good news on my case is that I've got three passports because my mom's from Chile. My father's French. So I have a French EU passport. And I have an American passport.
Is there an art to know which one to show when?
Yeah, I mean, in general, there's countries that have a negative disposition toward the West. Then those are the ones I want to show my Chilean passport.
That might come in very handy.
Yeah.
I was talking with Paul Theroux about his book on Africa, and he is passionate about the importance of going overland, actually crossing borders on the ground instead of flying from capital to capital. How do you plan to actually transport yourself?
I agree with Paul 100%. Yeah, I think Paul's absolutely right. It's being able to see things on the land as much as possible. I mean, there'll be a few exceptions, Rick. Maybe going to Madagascar and going to the Seychelles Islands, I may not be able to go on a boat to get there because there's pirates that kind of are patrolling the coast out there. And so it might be a little bit too dangerous to go there. If I really want to go to Mogadishu, it may not be difficult to get there by overland without crossing enemy territory. And so I may have to fly into Mogadishu if I really want to go there.
I do a lot of trip planning, and two terms I've never even said in the same paragraph as a trip planning paragraph is pirates and enemy territory. You're going to be dealing with pirates and enemy territory for 3 years. What's your biggest fear? What do you think the biggest risk is?
Well, actually, I'm really afraid of getting hit by a car. You know, a lot of times in third world countries, Rick, you've probably experienced this too, they drive like crazy, like total maniacs.
Yeah.
The roads are really narrow sometimes, and it's just crazy how people drive there, especially the buses, et cetera. And so I think that's my biggest fear. I'm not really worried about being eaten by a lion and that kind of stuff. Getting malaria is also one of my fears, but I think that's not going to be a big issue.
So you're pretty confident you can go through 54 countries in Africa and not get some terrible kind of tropical disease.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think that's going to be, as long as I'd be able to take some of my malaria pills and that kind of stuff in order to wearing long sleeves and that kind of stuff. I've done a lot of camping, so I know what you need to do in order to not get bitten. But of course, nobody's perfect and mosquitoes are pretty clever.
Pills can't help you from getting just ripped off. On your website, you say you plan to get robbed 3 times. What's with that?
Yeah. In other words, I try to look at being ripped off as a positive thing, especially in Africa. In other words, if you think about this, let's say you have a really expensive camcorder or you have a wallet with $500 worth of cash or whatever, and you get stolen. That money or the value of that, that guy is going to steal your camera. He's eventually going to sell it in Africa. He's not going to sell it to China, or he's not going to sell it in the United States, most likely. And wherever he sells it, he's going to keep the money. It's going to circulate in the African society. And so in a sense, you could look at being ripped off as a contribution to the African economy. It's not, it's of course not a willing contribution,
right,
but at least it's one way to make yourself feel a little bit better about being ripped off. And the fact that, well, you know what? I just lost my wallet again, or somebody stole it. Okay, well, at least it's not going complete waste. It's going to go eventually to feed somebody help somebody improve their standard of living.
And, you know, when we get our camera ripped off, it ruins our day, but somebody's going to sell that for 6 months' wages in their poor economy. So it's a positive way to look at it. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Francis Tapon. And Francis is setting out eventually to visit every country in the world. We talked to him recently after visiting all the countries in Eastern Europe, and he wrote a book called The Hidden Europe, What Eastern Europeans Can Teach Us. And just within a short period of time, he's going to be deep into his three-year odyssey, visiting all 54 countries in Africa. Francis Tapon's website for this adventure is africa54.com. Francis, I know packing's very important, and I know you've got ideas on a minimalist bag. I enjoyed reading your rundown of what you think is a good bag. You're going to be out there in the elements. You're going to be alone. You're going to be crossing borders into countries you've never been. You want to be mobile. Tell us about your backpack.
Yeah, I'm going to be using a Gossamer Gear backpack, which is a super light backpack. I weigh everything by the ounce, and so I'm going to be carrying the minimalist clothes. I'm probably going to be carrying like ex officio clothes that dry quickly, three underwears and two shirts and one pair of pants, and that's it. And so I can wash things and then hang them up on the clothesline to dry. I figure in most places in Africa, it's going to be warm enough for it to hang dry.
Yeah.
And so just really minimize your packs. I've walked across America, spent 7 months in the wilderness, and I was carrying just 6 pounds of equipment with me without food and water.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Francis Tapon as he embarks upon a three-year adventure visiting every country in Africa. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And we have Donna calling in from Yakima in Washington. Donna, thanks for your call.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Francis. Thank you.
Hi.
I reviewed Francis's Africa route map, and you mentioned the Morocco-Algeria border problem and having to backtrack also that you regretted doing that. I've been to Tangier, Morocco, and have experience with the Tangier-Tarifa ports, and I was wondering why you couldn't take the boat from Tangier to Tarifa, Spain, or Gibraltar to a port or airport that departs for Algeria. And then that way you could avoid, you know, the border problem.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it's interesting because in the case of Algeria and Morocco, I won't be there for another 2 years. Think about me starting in Egypt, and I'm going to be going basically clockwise around Africa. So by the time I get to the Morocco-Algeria border, it will be 2 years from now. Who knows what the situation will be there between the border? But if you're right that the border is still kind of closed, I think your idea is fabulous of going into Gibraltar and crossing countries that way.
That's an example of how Francis is going to have to play things by ear as he goes and see where the heat is.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
good. Who knows where it will be in 2 years, though.
Right. Donna, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Francis.
Okay, bye now.
Sure, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
And Carolyn's on the phone in Tacoma. Carolyn, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Comment for Francis?
Yes, Francis. I've been to 4 countries in Africa on both sides of the continent, and I guess this would be for any place outside of the United States, but have you checked into MedicAlert and their foundation? You can both have an instant way of making sure people know your medical history, if need be, for emergency. And the other thing is they have a wonderful kind of bridge plan. I was in Nairobi in July of 1998, just before the embassy was bombed, and had my own accident and found out that you need to have the money on hand when you get out of the hospital. And I found out the hard way. If my dad hadn't come to save me, I wouldn't have been able to get out. So they have a bridge plan that I wouldn't travel without. And it's where they pay, MedicAlert will pay up front the money that your medical plan then will pay later. I just think that's really important to have.
Yeah, I've written an article on my website just recently about all the issues of how you get medical insurance while traveling, as well as just general travel insurance, as well as property insurance. So all these insurance things are something that I've certainly thought about, and I think you're absolutely right. It's something that a lot of travelers may not consider when they go out to these places, but it does make a big difference, and nobody wants any misfortune to happen, but it's a great way to prepare and to get some medical evacuation when you need it most.
Right. It really is. And there's so many accidents that can happen that you have nothing to do with. They just happen. Like you mentioned earlier in the program about being in a car, things happen, so that having the proper things in place before you leave, I do believe is very important and a part of your planning.
Boy, I would imagine, especially for what Francis is about to do. Carolyn, thanks for your call.
Safe traveling, Francis.
Thank you, Carolyn. I just signed my will and testament, so just updated it, gave all the instructions on what to do when I die and all this other stuff. It's kind of sobering to do so, but it's something important to do that we should all do.
Mihai in Watkins Glen, New York, emailed us and says, we're wrapping up a family around-the-world trip in 15 months, inspired by an episode of this radio show. They visited four African countries. He advises you, Francis, to plan at least a couple months in Madagascar and choose wisely the time of year to go. There's no access for up to 6 months in some of the most interesting regions. Take your time in South Africa. This country has countless amazing attractions, but 3 weeks in Egypt was plenty. Don't waste your time there at the beginning of your trip. You must be getting a lot of tips from people on where you should spend more and less time.
Yeah, and I appreciate all the advice because it's something that's invaluable to me. I think that in the case of Madagascar, I would love to. I mean, Madagascar is the size of California, so it's pretty large. And one of my dreams is to go to one end of Madagascar and walk across the entire spine of it and to the other end. I don't know if I'll actually do that, but it's something because I have to find out from the locals there to just see how feasible that really is. But that's something I'd like to do. I've walked across America four times, so I know physically I could do it.
Yeah, well, you walked the whole, 2,600 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail from the border of Canada to the border of Mexico. And you mentioned 85% of the people who start this intending to do it drop out and don't make it. What are the chances you're going to drop out of this thing 3 years visiting all the countries in Africa?
I'm not used to dropping out, so I've never dropped out on any trail, and I don't quit. I'm a pretty stubborn guy when I set my mind to it. If anything, it's more likely that I might take more time, Rick, and so instead of taking 3 years, I might take 4 years.
You got the luxury of time. You're living life very intentionally and very thoughtfully. You did a fun thing about how you'd rate your life on a 1 to 10 scale. Back in 2000, you gave it a 7. How would you rate your life now on 1 to 10 and why?
I would give it a 9. I mean, the only reason I can't say that it's a 10 is just I just haven't found that romantic partner who I'm going to be spending my life with who wants to travel just as much as I do and travel to all these different places. So I think that's the one missing ingredient to bring me a 10. But other than that, I would say I'm a very happy 9.
Well, and for 3 years, you might be able to pick up some beautiful romantic souvenir in Africa. That would give you a 10.
Yes, exactly. I'll pick up some sort of farmer in Somalia.
It can happen. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are fantasizing about visiting every country in Africa. Francis's website is africa54.com. And Francis, I don't want you to rush your trip, but as soon as you're done, let's be sure to get together and hear about your adventures.
Yeah, I hope so in 2016, Rick.
All right. Take care. Have a great time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick. You'll find links to our guests and archives of each week's show in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Thanks for help this week to KJZZ Phoenix and KQED San Francisco, and to Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern Graham. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. We'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.